chapter, Luke the 5th chapter, verse 27 to 29. And it says, "And after these things he went forth, and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. He left all and rose up and followed him." Listen to this. "He left all, rose up, and followed him." Everybody say, "He left all,
rose up, and followed him.
"And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them." I want to read this one more time. And it says, "And after these things he went forth, and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us all say amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor before you sit down and say, neighbor, the response to the call. The response to the call. Amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. Amen. The response to the call. Amen. You may be seated. The response to the call. Last week we dealt with the subject of letting Jesus be the captain of our life. In the message, we experienced the calling of Simon and the sons of Zebedee, whose names are James and John, who sometimes are recognized as the sons of thunder. We dealt how Jesus went into Simon's boat. And it was important that he went into Simon's boat because of the fact that Simon, his name meant wavering reed or sand. And we understood that despite all of the lack that Simon had and all of the sinful life that he led, Jesus still thought it important to get in his boat. And because Jesus doesn't see our current situation, but he sees the potential for our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We also identified that Simon, in him allowing Jesus to come into his boat and recognizing the potential that he had, we identified the responsibility, and our responsibility, like Simon, was to carry Christ, but more directly, our responsibility to carry the word of God to others. In our text, we examined Simon. He was one of the first ones that were being called. But now we want to identify and deal with another disciple that was called, and his name was Levi. And what was his response to his new life in Christ? When you read through this book of Luke, around the fourth chapter, right in the beginning, it deals with Jesus being in Nazareth. And when Jesus was in Nazareth, if you look at the fourth chapter, verse 18 to 19 and verse 21, Jesus declares to the people what his ministry would be and that his ministry was about to begin. He says these words. He quotes Isaiah the prophet. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In verse 21, it says, "And he began to say unto them, This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And what Jesus was simply declaring is that, look, I'm here. What Isaiah was talking about years ago is now being fulfilled, that I'm here to bring good tidings to the poor. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to set the captives free. He says, I'm here, and right now this scripture is very alive in your eyes. Now, he was in Nazareth, and people, they knew Jesus as Joseph's boy. You know, the carpenter's son, you know, that guy from around the way. And we really know that your mama, what wasn't, you know, Joseph really wasn't your daddy, but that's what the word is on the street. They tried to dress it up. But we really know the whole story that you really don't even know who your daddy is. And they knew all about Jesus' stuff, so they thought. And therefore, Jesus could not do miracles in Nazareth, but they also doubted who he was. But Jesus left there. And after he left there, he went to a town called Capernaum. And as you go through the fourth chapter and the beginning of this fifth chapter, you will find that Jesus began to do miracles.
In chapter 4, verse 35, he rebukes the unclean spirit of him that was possessed in the synagogue, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 38 to 39, he rebuked the fever of Simon's mother-in-law and heals her. In verse 41, the Bible says that devils come out of many. In verse 1 through 11 of the 5th chapter, we experience, yes, the call of Simon, but what really caused him to come to repentance was the fact that there was a miracle done. There was a miracle done. You might have missed it last week, but there was a miracle done after Simon allowed Jesus to come into the boat, and then he began to preach. But when you look down about the 5th and 7th verse, the Bible says that after they had been out and they had fished and caught nothing, Jesus tells Simon to go back out and cast your net again. And the Bible says that they drew so many fishes that they had to call for James and John's boat to help them carry the load in. Jesus was doing miracles. He was fulfilling the words of Isaiah the prophet. But when we get down to this 27th verse of this 5th chapter of Luke, we had experienced the miracles and the wonder of his power, but Jesus shows us something new. He shows us the wonders of his grace. And a lot of times we get caught up with what Jesus can do for us, but we forget about what he has come to do was to save you from your sins. The Bible says that Jesus, when he came for the purpose not to condemn us, but to fulfill the law through the shedding of his blood. Somebody ought to just put your hands together right there and just thank God. In our text, as we read our text, we find that there was Levi here. And he extends to Levi some grace. Verse 27, and it says, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. We want to make that clear. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to Levi, follow me, follow me. You know, we mentioned last week about Simon, how he was a poor fisherman. And it even identified himself in verse 8 as a man being a sinful man. But Levi was on the other spectrum. Simon was poor, but Levi was not poor at all. He sat at the receipt of custom. And just to kind of make that plain to us, he was the tax collector. He gleaned everybody's taxes. Now, it's a little different than the traditional IRS of today. But Levi was a tax collector, and he not only took what belonged to the government, but also he extorted from those who were poor. He took everything that he could. He was a very wealthy man. And matter of fact, when you read later on, the Bible says that he put a feast together for everybody. So we knew he had a little something. He had a piece of bread that he could break off. He had some money. And we say this to say is that Jesus came not just for those that are poor, but he also came for those who had. Jesus died for everybody. In John 1, verse 11 to 12, it says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Romans 8 and 32, we talked about it last night. It says he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us what? All. How shall he not freely give us all things? Jesus died for everybody. Don't think because you don't have money, you have a monopoly on Jesus. Jesus died for everybody. He died for black people. He died for white people, Asians, Hispanics. You know, I was so upset. When Barack Obama got elected, everybody, all the African Americans thought that God was on their side. God is on everybody's side. He's for you, he's for me. He's for her, he's for him. God is on everybody's side, and he's offered his gift of grace to everybody. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God gave himself. just for you. God gave himself just for you. He came for you that you might be saved and that your life might be changed. In our text today, there are four things that Levi does in response to the call that Jesus gave to follow him. There's four things that Levi does in his response to the call of Jesus saying to Levi, follow me. The first thing is found in verse 28. And he says, he left all. He left all. Chapter 5, verse 28. And he left all. Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, you must leave your past. You must leave your past. You have to understand here that Levi was a tax collector. He was doing all right. He was getting it in. Yeah, yeah. He was doing all right. He was making a load. But despite the load that he was making, he lived a life of corruption and sin and neglect for other people. And the Bible says that at the response or at the call of Jesus saying, follow me, the first thing that he did is that he left all. He left all. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 6 to 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will abundantly pardon. A lot of times we come to Jesus, say, Lord, save me. And then we go back and do the same life that we were doing before. If you decide to follow Jesus, you need to give up your stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. All of us will struggle with something, and it is a process in sanctification where you are justified by faith. But in that process, you're trying to get better. I was talking to somebody this morning. He says, look, I'm a Christian, but I'm not acting like it all the time. I want to let you know I'm a Christian, but I'm not acting like it all the time. And I want to let you know that I'm trying to get better. I'm not trying to get bitter, but I'm trying to get better. And as the days go on, I'm getting closer and closer to what God wants me to be. And every time I get closer, I find out how far I'm off. But when there is a gap in between the righteousness that God has given me and the righteousness I do in my ways, but I thank God that he bridges the gap for me. By his blood, he saves me. By his blood, he gives me righteousness. Well, the first thing is that he left all. What was the second thing? In verse 28, it says, and he left all. The second thing that he did, he rose up. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to rise up. You need to rise up. It is significant that we understand that although his financial position would now change, his position in life he took was a positive turn. You know, a lot of times when we give up our ways and we lose stuff, we think that we have lost in life. Sure, his financial condition was now going to change. But what he gave up and exchanged it for was everlasting life. That's why Paul said that this light affliction is but for a moment, but it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You have to realize that there is a life after this one. There is something called everlasting life. It means forever. It means always. And when you give your life to Christ, what you have now taken on is a brand new life. I like living this kind of life. I don't know about you. I love waking up knowing that my daddy is God. I love waking up in the morning that my king is Jesus. I like waking up in the morning knowing the Spirit of God is in me. That no matter who I face that day, that if anybody is against me, that he's more than the whole world against me. I might not have a dime in my pocket. I might not have two pennies to roll together. But I thank God that I know right now that I am a king's kid. I didn't step down, I stepped up. Yes, I was making a lot of money when I was a Prudential, but you know what? It's nothing like the life I have right now. When you give your life to Jesus and you turn your life over to him, I heard the lady say that it's sweeter than the day before. Somebody ought to put your hands together and bless the Lord. I'm not stepping up, I'm stepping down. There's four responses to the call. The first one is that he left all. The second thing is that he rose up. The third thing, it says in verse 28, and he followed him. He followed him. Well, it sounds times ironic to put this in here when Jesus already asked him to follow me. But see, Jesus was asking, Levi had to do the action. Jesus asked him to follow him, but Levi had to do the action. And Levi followed him. Part of the process of repentance is not only God offering repentance, but is also us receiving his grace and following him. In Mark the 8th chapter, verse 34 to 36, it says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto him, whosoever will, let him come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall the same save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Many times when people come to Jesus, they're interested in Jesus becoming savior of their life. They say, Jesus, save me. And what they're really saying is, God, I don't want to go to hell. That's a good decision to make. That's a good decision. I don't want to go to hell. I don't know anybody here that wants to go. Does anybody want to go to hell? I just want to check and see. If not, if you raise your hand, I'm going to call you up to the altar right away and lay hands on you. All right? I don't know anybody that wants to go to hell. But that's not really the issue here. Following Jesus and true repentance is not only just wanting him to be savior of your life, but it's also wanting him to be Lord of your life. When we read that scripture every Sunday, Romans the 10th chapter, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise to you. We say that every week. And a lot of us grab hold of the tail end of it. Yeah, I can believe that thing. Yep, Jesus died, buried, rose up again. Yep, got that covered. But we always forget that first part. That if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. The word confession there means to acknowledge or take on the essence of that Jesus is Lord of your life. That means he's in command. That means he's king. That means he's ruler. God, whatever you want me to do, you tell me to jump, I'll just say how high while I'm jumping. God, whatever your word tells me to do and whatever you tell me to say, that's what I'm going to do. Is that when you decide to fall under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Let me help somebody. Anybody ever watch the Smurfs? Anybody ever watch Smurfs? You know Papa Smurf? I know more than y'all watch Smurfs. I watched the Smurfs when I was growing up. I mean, I love the cartoons of old. I like Roadrunner. Was it Minnie Mouse? I like all the, but if you ever watched the Smurfs, they were all blue. They were all blue. Everybody was blue. I mean, that was the essence of who they were. And if I decided this morning that I wanted to be a Smurf, I had to not only profess that I'm a Smurf, but I had to take on the essence of a Smurf. And then y'all start teasing me. Well, how do I take on the essence of being a Smurf? I got to go down to Duran Paints, give me some blue paint, and pour it over me, and cover myself daily with being blue. Somebody's going to get this in a second. See, I got to go to Duran Paints, give me some blue paint, and every day, daily, cover myself with being blue. I have to take on the responsibility of being a blue person. I got to take on the responsibility of not being liked. I got to take on the responsibility of living right and living like a blue person. Well, when you decide to come to Christ, what you're saying is that I'm taking off my old man. I'm taking on the death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. And I've decided now that I'm going to fall under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You got to leave all. You got to rise up and you got to follow him. Well, what's the fourth thing? We got to celebrate. We got to celebrate. You have to understand that Levi, after he decided to follow Jesus, he decided to celebrate. He realized the life that he had was a new life. And so what he did, he had a feast at his house. Called us all his old boys. You know the road dog? You know the guy that you smoke joint with? You know the guy that you had old English 800? You know how you had jungle juice? See, y'all thought I didn't know about that. For those who do not know what jungle juice is, that when you get everything in a cabinet and you mix it all together, put Kool-Aid. See, I was there. Yep. But you got it all together. And you had junk. Call those boys. And he had a party. He said, come on over for the party. Then tell him what the party was about. He just had somebody new that he wanted to introduce them to. And Jesus came to the house. See, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't care what your old boys have to say. You say, come on over. I got somebody new I want you to meet. I want to tell you how somebody changed my life, that he came in and saved my soul and made my life brand new. That's why the songwriter said like this. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody. But I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. That's why Eugene Bartlett, he had a song like this. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing blood. That's why I can sing a song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, I'm purchased by God. I'm born of his spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story. When you come to Jesus, you can celebrate. I got a brand new life. You got to leave all. You got to rise up. You got to follow him. And you got to celebrate your new life in Jesus. The response to the call. Put your hands together and praise the Lord this morning.